Another date very important is 1910, when Portugal became a republic, and from then we have different systems, different democratic and non-democratic systems, but anyway, a republic since then. And obviously we have to mention, because we are in the Assembly of the Republic, in 1974 we have a revolution, a very the coronation revolution. I don't know if you have some information on that, but it was a very smooth revolution with no problems of fights or any battles, any wars between areas or places or sites. And we have approved a new constitution in 1976, that the constitution that is in force right now. To talk a little bit more about the parliament, this is a single chamber with our representative democracy. Well, we have this this system of election. That means that we have 18 districts in the mainland, and those 18 districts elect a number of MPs depending on the number of all the population of each district. Obviously, Lisbon is the biggest one. We elect in Lisbon 51 MPs, mm-hmm. and in a small district in the north, mm-hmm. we have 3 or 4 MPs elected. It depends on the population. Mm-hmm. And we have elections every 4 years. Mm-hmm. Our last election was in 2015. And we have this composition of the parliament right now, and I can explain a little bit using this. We have, you can hear me. Have you, from the right to the left, we have Popular Party, this is a conservative party with 18 MPs, then Social Democrats, we won the elections, 89 is the biggest parliamentary group. This is PSD, and then we have the Socialists, PS, with 86 MPs. Then the Green Party, Verde in Portuguese, so it's the Green Party with 2 MPs, it's also a parliamentary group. And then we have the Communists. Communists and Green are elected in a coalition. Communists have 15 MPs, and Green Party has 2. And then the Left Bloc, they have 19, it's the third parliamentary group, they have 19 MPs. So this composition of the parliament leads to a government that is composed by the socialists, with parliamentary support of all other parliamentary groups on the left. That means Left Bloc, Communists and Green Party. They all have 132 MPs, so they have enough majority to. So it's a quite new situation in Portugal, but it's working, and the socialist government can be in the government since 2 years ago. This is a map, some ideas of this the political bodies of the parliament. We are going to talk more about the administration. I can explain here the chamber, obviously, that elects the speaker on the first day of the legislature. The first thing that the chamber does is to elect the speaker, and after that, we have committees. Right now we have 12 permanent committees, standing committees, and we have here the Conference of Leaders. This Leaders Conference, basically what they do is to define the order of the day of the plenary. And it's the, after the president, it's the maximum
body of the parliament.
We have also, with the committees, the conference of the committee chairmen, basically to inform the president how is the legislative procedure in the committees doing, so they have more information to work with this leaders' conference. Then we have the political groups. Each parliamentary group has the secretariats and this staff. And here is the most important part for us. Mm-hmm. The speaker, we have the board of administration, is a board that is composed by members of all parliamentary groups, but we will talk more, Anna will talk more about this body later. And the Secretary General. The Secretary General implements basically the main decisions, the main political decisions,
and supervises and works with the different services of the Parliament. So, just to come back to this, the number of people working here in the Parliament, we have 230 MPs, six parliamentary groups, as I explained you before. The staff of the Parliament right now is about 370, and the staff for the groups, because it should have a budget a year, and they can have people working for them, advisors, secretaries, and they are more or less 250. This is the organogram of the Parliament. We can give you this later, these presentations, and we can put it the organogram. I will explain it quickly because it's, and I will stop there in your areas. So this is, we have the Secretary General here.
Yes.
The assistants or deputy secretary generals, we are two. We have Mrs. Aguilar is more for the administrative and IT areas, and I'm more for the what we call parliamentary activity. And we have six big departments. The first one is the parliamentary support, the virtual committees, the plenary, and then we have the documentation, information and communication, where we have the public relations. Citizen Information Center and Public Relations is where Elizabeth works, and she will explain about their work. And then we have another directorate or department for administrative and financial services. And here we have human resources, financial management, and procurement and property division. Then international relations and protocol with two divisions, computer IT center, and the office for external budgetary control, that Fernando Paulo is the director. So basically, for the administrative and supervision that you have mentioned, we have here this area, this department, administrative and financial, and this office. So they will explain how they manage the budget of the parliament, but also the audits of this work. So this is the main idea. So I don't know if you have some doubts or any questions.
Yes. Tadi ada apa selain kan ada staff jumlahnya 300 less ya. Ya, parliamentary staff 370. Terus group staff 250. Apa juga tugas dan fungsi questões coloca aqui a diferenciação entre o pessoal da Assembleia e o pessoal dos grupos parlamentares. Eles têm funções diferentes, qual é a diferença entre esses dois pessoais?
A escreve os contextos em português que é mais para ficar claro. Os grupos parlamentares, os funcionários do quadro da Assembleia, são estes 370, são, fazem parte de um corpo que trabalha para o permanente de serviços da Assembleia.
Ok, so as José Manuel said, I will speak more about the administrative area. However, I want to come back because I replaced the head of the administrative area in last minute, and I had some changes in the PowerPoints, and I saw that there was an important omission here, because if we want to speak about the administrative management of the Parliament, we have to start by the Speaker, not the Board of Administration. Because if you see this chart, you see that we have the Board of Administration somewhere between the Speaker and the Secretary General. In terms the law of the organization of the Parliament, the administrative management of the Parliament foresees two bodies in terms of the administration, the Speaker and the Board of Administration. The Speaker has two main functions, the political function and also the general supervision of all the administration of the Parliament. Okay? So, with this correction to my next slides, I am now in conditions to start with the Board of the Administration. The Board of the Administration is essentially an advisory body. It means that it has no functions of authorization of the procedures, but the authorization by the Secretary General or by the Speaker depends in many aspects of the okay of the Board of the Administration. The Board of the Administration has to give his advice about the projects, the issues that are submitted to the supervision. So, advisory functions. It's elected in the Parliament, in the plenary. It means that in the beginning of a legislative period, there is an election of in the plenary. It is the president of the Board of the Administration belongs to the major parliamentary group. It's curious because now the president of the Board of Administration is a social democratic, even although the president belongs to the socialist, the speaker belongs to the socialist party, but it's foreseen by law that the president of the Board of Administration belongs to the major parliamentary group. The composition of the Board of Administration is one MP from each parliamentary group. In the present situation, it means six. The Secretary General and one representative of the civil servants elected by them. It means the group on 370 that we mentioned before. What are the main competences of the Board of Administration? A list of general of many competences which I may consider in a broad competence of to give his view about the general policy of the Parliament, the management and the resources. In terms of human resources, the assets, the acquisitions, the process of acquisitions. It means that the number of civil services, it must be approved by it must have the view of the Board of Administration. The acquisition, the important acquisitions of many assets. This important and structural cases need the previous okay of the board of the administration. They also has the competence of the preparation of the proposal of the budget of the parliament and the coordination of the proposals of the annual financial report in the accounts. So the board of administration plays a key position in terms of the two main financial pieces, in terms of the budgetary administration of the parliament, in terms of the elaboration of the proposal of the budget and the coordination of the proposal of the annual financial report and the accounts. I put in brackets in this description of the bodies, and I take the opportunity to say a little bit more to you about the procedure of approval of the budget and the annual account. Starting by the budget. The budget is prepared by the service. Actually, the process starts in the board administration, because the board administration approves the guidelines. The guidelines for the budget of the next year. Now, with these guidelines, the services prepare a proposal of the budget. The budget goes again to the board of the administration, and there the board of administration approves this proposal. At that time, it's only a proposal. Now, what is the next step? It's the approval of by the planner. It means that the budget of the parliament is presented to the plenary 15 days before the presentation of the state budget, and it must be approved before the state budget. Why? Because it's a key characteristic of the budget of the parliament is the independence from the state budget. The budget of the parliament is not
does not start with a proposition of an amount by the Minister of Finances. The Parliament is allowed to tell to the Minister of Finance what is the amount we need to complete our functions. So there is a full independence, and in these years that I've been here, this independence has been observed in practice. We have not, even in these years of strong reductions in the public expenditure with the financial crisis and so on, the Parliament has not submitted. Of course, this Parliament is has his own responsibility, and he must be solidarity in terms of the other departments. We must the Parliament, of course, knows what the situation and has a strict financial management, but it's independent. Now, the execution of the budget, the financial report and the accounts. It's also prepared, they are also prepared by the services and submitted to the board of the administration. The board of administration approves this proposal. But the financial report and annual accounts only come obtain the definitive approval in the plenary with the prior audit of audit court. I want to stress this point because maybe it's the part of the answer to your previous question of the to have or not to have a supervision department. Because we have each year the audit court here and it has a detailed audit to the accounts of the Parliament. And the plenary only approves the budget of the Parliament with the report of the audit court each year. Not by simple methods as the other bodies of the... Yes.
Twice a
year. Yes.
They come in November and they come again in May.
Yes.
They come in November of the own year of the day they supervise. Mm-hmm. So they came the last November. Mm-hmm. And they stay here during a month. To look the accountability in the own year, they will supervise. And they come again in May to supervise all 2017.
I think that we have the audit court here 2 or 3 months here, because each year, because as Fernando Paulo said, they start in the year under supervision to see how the thing runs in practice, and after to confirm in the actual supervision if what we write is according with they saw. So it's the practice. So very, very briefly now. Yes. Now, the Secretary General. As I mentioned before, the Speaker has the supervision of all the Parliament. The Secretary General has the supervision of the services. Okay? So, the Secretary General is appointed by the President. He is appointed in the beginning of the legislative period and it must be confirmed or changed in the beginning of a new period. He reports directly to the President and works in close cooperation of Board of Administration. It means that the Secretary General has among his competences the presentation of proposals to the Board of Administration. And he has the capacity, he is allowed by law to approve expenditures up to 2,100 for, what I said? 12, sorry. I'm sorry. Fortunately, it is written. To this amount written. Okay. The Secretary General coordinate the current management of the services, coordinate the drawing up active plans, the budget, the management reports and accounts. Proposed, I start in the field of the proposals, proposed change to the organization's structure, proposed regulations needed to the internal organization, and proposed
requisitions of staff from central, regional and local administration. I finish with the slides, but I think that I must make a summary in order you understand correctly the building. Because as I told you, the Board of Administration has a central role in the administrative structure. What does it mean? That the top issues which need the authorization of the speaker, usually they start by the Secretary General, they are prepared by the services, they are submitted to the Board Administration and they are sent to the speaker to authorize.
Yes, the most important issues, the structural issues of the Parliament. Below 200, to have, oh my God, to have some 12,000 and FTG euros, the Secretary General is allowed to approve without anybody, his own competence. And also some minor issues related to organization of the service, some civil servants, for instance, which move from the department of Fernando Paulo to the other department, it can be approved by the Secretary General. Some current management issues. However, the issues that that have not the approval of the speaker, but are above 1,200, they are they have the okay of the Board of the Administration, and they come back to the Secretary General, and they are approved by the Secretary General. So the Secretary General has competence of the minor or current issues of the management, and the Board of Administration plays a central place in terms either of the issues who need the approval of the speaker or the issues that come back to the Secretary General and can be approved by Secretary General. Maybe with this summer you understand more precisely what is the organization of the administrative organization of the Portuguese Parliament. And if you want you have some questions, please.
Yeah. Thank you for your explanation, Ms. Ana Leal. My name is Raras, and I'm audit court, and then what is the opinion
of the audit court is having the different opinion with the budget plan from Secretary General. They said that before approval by the plenary has to be prior audit of audit court. What if they don't agree with that or have something wrong? Okay, never happen. Thank God. Thank God. It never happened. Yeah. Okay. So always agree with that. If that is never happened, then thanks God. Yeah, okay.
In the informal terms, it never happened. However, the audit court, and it has happened in some years, can say, because the audit court, what is in intervention, is to make recommendations.
Okay.
So the audit court can say, okay, for instance, I know that in appreciation of 2017, they will say, we have very few number of this situation, but you have to try to put in competition very old contracts that have been contracted under the previous law. We have two or three. But it can happen that the audit court say, yes, in general, the view of the audit court is very positive for the parliament, very positive. But they can say, well, you can improve this or this or this area, but it's not a negative appointment.
Thank you very much for your attention.
Just a little bit, there's maybe just a little bit of political aspect concerning with the function of the Secretary General in general. You know, there's, during the government of the Social Party, there's, the government has a good record concerning with the, what is called make a balance, cooperation between the Social Party and then the Left Party. And I think that this condition has to be supported, fully supported by the Secretary General. If not a strong support from the Secretary General, sometimes that's not impossible. It is what is a little bit impossible to reach the what is called the good condition in terms of the implementation of the government policy. So what is the role of the Secretary General in this term? Yeah, that's the first. The second one, the second one, it is that I'm a little bit curious why. The background is such like that one. I just want to be honest. During in my posting in here, 3.5 every year, there are delegation of the Parliament Indonesia to Portugal. Meanwhile, since the what is called the reopening of the diplomatic relation of the Indonesia and Portugal, no single visit of the Parliament Portugal to Indonesia. Is it the what is called the policy, political policy, or cause of the quote-unquote administration policy? If that's the administration policy, how far the role of the what is called administration board of the Secretary General in this matter to decide whether the what is called the program to visit to the another country, to the friend country.
Well, about the function of the Secretary General in terms of the political environment of the Parliament. In fact, the Secretary General is appointed by the Speaker and the board of administration also agrees with this proposal. So the choice of that person is done by the president, and the president will have someone that can assure the independence of the services. That's why basically this function of Secretary General was always occupied by someone who is a high-ranking person of the public administration in Portugal, and someone that gives the confidence to the president that the services will work in the independent way. Because when someone, we are in a committee room, when the president of one committee has one advisor of the services on his side, that person should work as independent for all parliamentary groups that are in the committee. So this is what we can say, that this replies also with the Secretary General. So the independence, the work with the different parliamentary groups, this is something that I probably can understand the doubts of a diplomat, but all parliamentary civil servants can understand the way they should serve the parliament more than each MP individually considered. Like you diplomats, with a minister that you like more or like less, you have to work for the Minister for Foreign Affairs in a very professional way. So that's what I can say about the position of the Secretary General towards this composition of the Parliament. Basically, the choice of the President is done, and the Secretary General must act as the top of the independent body that's the services of the Parliament.
You know, just the member of the parliament, and then have a meeting, a lot of meeting with the minister, maybe every single day. I think that's a huge job for the administration, for the technicals, for up there. Right? Can you imagine this? What is called influence of the Secretary General?
question of the visits from Portugal to Indonesia or from Portugal to any other country. We have a budget for the travel, and part is already defined for the parliamentary delegations to different international organizations that we are part, and there is a very short part for parliamentary groups, for friendship parliamentary groups. And for this, if we have friendship parliamentary groups or a delegation of the committee, like Foreign Affairs Committee, they can ask the president a special authorization. So this is done by the political, by the political body committee. The committee can ask the president can ask the Secretary General or the services. If you have an amount enough to do this trip, but the administrative area do not have any capacity to influence these visits. This must be done by the MPs with the president, and then the president can decide to that expenditure is okay and politically is the right moment to have this kind of visits. That's why the number of visits is not that big, and not from Indonesia to Portugal. We are always very happy to receive you.
You have a sign of crisis, and then sometimes it becomes less difficult to find an original. That's why I ask you for this missing letter, and I just want to be able to check up on this, that the parliament has a sign of crisis, what is called, that impacted the budget of service.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, you know, please? No? No.
Jadi, karena saya terdiri dari perangkat mengenai humas ya, jadi dari sini. Baik, saya mau tanya gimana cara perangkat ini memperoleh humasannya?
So we're now going to have this presentation of Fernando Paulo Gonçalves, who is the director for this Parliamentary External Budgetary Control Unit. And it's another important information. He was director for administrative and financial services before. So a very person that can give information about
the special unit is called external, okay, not internal, you know? first of all, welcome to you. And welcome to this country and to this parliament. The best, worst touristic destination for you all, and Lisbon too. So enjoy the sun, enjoy the weather. It's very nice today. It's a little bit cold, but it's very nice. Sorry?
It's
Yes, it's the best destination of the world. The world's best destination. Yes. Lisbon and Portugal too. The first one is to regulate some strategic and economical areas, by instance, energy, financial and banking system, communications, competitions, and so on. And the second kind of these bodies is created to guarantee and protect some people's fundamental rights, mainly from illegal or abusive practice of the government's administration. Okay? So, we call these independent bodies administrative because they have a large range of administrative competences, including regulatory and sanctionary powers, and they are independent too because they are directly created by law or foreseen by the Constitution. We have some independent bodies, for instance, the Ombudsman, which are direct in the Constitution, and their activities are not submitted to any administrative or political instruction or supervision. So they are fully independent. Okay?
Considering this specificness and the importance of the second type of independent bodies, I have told you, is to guarantee and protect some citizens' fundamental rights, and in order to strengthen their independence and autonomy, they work adjacent to the parliament, even though outside its organic structure, they don't belong to the structure of the parliament. Because the parliament is the only political institution which, at the same time, is directly elected by the people and has a multi-party composition. So they work adjacent to the parliament because the parliament is the only organ of sovereignty, organ of power, which is fully independent and has a multi-party composition. You know? Most of them, of these bodies, dispose of parliament rooms and other facilities, for instance, administrative and technical support, furniture, free Wi-Fi, and so on. To face their operational costs, they have a yearly budget, which integrates the parliament's budget as a separate budget item. And the global amount of expenses in 2018 budget is almost 12 million euros, okay, which represent 11.2% of the total amount of expenses of the budget parliament, which is almost 105 million euros, okay? We are talking of 12 independent administrative bodies who work adjacent to the parliament, the Ombudsman, okay, the National Election Committee, the National Data Protection Committee, the Administrative Documentation Access Committee, the Media Regulatory Committee, the Secret of State Supervision Committee, the Justice of the Peace Council, which is a kind of court, the Integrated Criminal Information System Supervision Council, the Assisted Reproduction National Council, the Portuguese Republic Information System Supervision Council, it's very important, the National Ethics Council for the Life Sciences, and the ADN Profiles Databases Supervision Council. Okay? These are the 12 independent administrative bodies who work by the Parliament, adjacent to the Parliament. Well, why these administrative independent bodies must be controlled? Because they deal with a public budget. So, and following several recommendations of National Court of Audit to the Parliament, the Parliament created in 2015 a specific unit to control those bodies' budgetary execution, which we call the External Budgetary Control Unit. So not internal, because the Parliament has not a unit to supervise on an internal basis the execution of the parliamentary budget. Maybe we will have in this year, in 2018, maybe we are thinking about that, but not, we haven't yet one. And the initials are in Portugal are GCOE. If you want, we call Gabinete de Controlo Orçamental Externo. It's not BASE, it's Portuguese. this unit reports directly to the Secretary General of the Parliament, and it's as its main task, they must develop budgetary control systems and procedures to the independent bodies with administrative autonomy, which depend in financial terms, as we see, of Parliament's budget. This control we call an administrative control because these bodies are also subject to other two types of control. One, jurisdictional, which is performed by the National Court of Auditors, okay, but also by other countries, and is very centered in the control of legality, okay? And a political control, which is carried out by the Parliament, for instance, by the monetization of the national budget execution, or by the exam and approval of the national account. This administrative control is a process carried out to anticipate and avoid management risks, okay, and to provide the reasonable reliability of the budgetary execution operations in order to achieve the following leading objectives. First of all, to execute operations on an ethical, economical, efficient, and effective basis, to fulfill accountability obligations, to comply with laws and regulations, of course, and to safeguard public resources against loss, misuse, and damage. In order to fully carry out this administrative control, this unit adopts several procedures, amongst others. It sends periodical questionnaires to the independent bodies in order to obtain a better knowledge of current budgetary systems and practices. It makes suggestions of behaviors and practice to be followed according to law. It makes control standard rules to be sent to all independent bodies, management organs, in order to let them know in advance what kind of budgetary practice and operation will be expected and should be followed according to law and best practices. And finally, it develops audit procedures, two internal audit procedures, in order to verify the control level on the ground. Okay? Anyway, nobody likes to be controlled. Okay? So we have these administrative bodies before 2015, they were not controlled. So they began to be controlled after 2015. So they are still in a process of adaptation to this new reality. Okay? We have some difficulties and constraints or challenges. I like to call them challenges. One of them is the control activities are usually misinterpreted by their recipients, of course. And the main restraint, the main problem, is because these bodies are really independent. So how do we supervise, how do control these independent bodies? You know, we can advise them to have some behaviors, to have some practices, but we cannot oblige them. That's a problem we have. The obligation, we report to the Secretary General, may report to the Board of Administration, the Board of Administration can report to the President, and the President of the Board of Administration, may write to the presidents of these entities, of these bodies, advising them to take some behaviors, to take some actions. We think our rights are the best according to law. Okay? So that's some problems, some constraints we have. But it's crucial to ensure and safeguard control operations at effectiveness and aims. Okay? So that's what we do nowadays. We don't know if our will spread, as I said to you, will spread to other activities, to internal activities of the Parliament, or not, we will see. Okay? And this is my email. If you want to ask me something, I'm on your entire disposal. Okay.
We are going to send all presentations by email to Susana. Oh, we can. We are going to put this after. This question time, Fernando Paulo is going to be at lunch too, so some questions on that for him can be done a little bit later. I think Elizabeth won't be at lunch, so we can go directly to her presentation, and then the debate can follow. Okay?
So welcome to the Portuguese Parliament. It was told, I work in the public relations, and I like a lot of the work I do. I'm going to talk you a little bit, around 10 minutes. My presentation will last around 10 minutes. Yes. I'm going to talk you a little bit about my service. I work in the Citizen Information Center and Public Relations. And the Portuguese Parliament has long been engaged in the promotion and strengthening of its relationship with the citizens. In 2004, my service was created, mainly directed towards the improvement of a more effective communications with the citizens in general, and the media in particular. So the competences of my service can be divided into three main areas. So I have these competences in the end of my presentation, because there are several, there are a lot, and I was told to make a little presentation in order so that you can understand everything. So we have an educative, the competences can be divided in three main areas: educative service, cultural service, and communication, okay? So I put here some pictures so that you can see some of the activities that we made here in the palace. So you can see here, oh, sorry, I don't know how to point it. Here you can see the media, and there you can see activities with the children, and here is a guided tour with handicapped people, okay? We do guided tours for a lot of groups, of a lot of different groups. So the object of my service is to improve and reinforce the interaction between the Parliament and the citizens. And how do we do it? We do it mainly through two main tasks. We inform and we welcome the citizens. How do we do it? Okay? So how do we inform the citizens? Ensuring the maintenance and the functioning of the Parliament's website. We have all kinds of information in this website, okay? All citizens can see the website and they know what is happening in the Parliament, okay? Everything, they know everything that happens in the Parliament. Ensuring an electronic informative bulletin with the Parliament's agenda, okay? And supporting the media in their coverage of the Assembly of the Republic's activities, all activities, everything that happens here, okay? And providing information for the general public. So how do we do it? We receive phone calls, we receive emails, we receive all kinds of demands, and we answer to the citizens, okay? By telephone, by email, it depends on the way they contact us, okay? We receive a lot of phone calls and emails. We are always answering to the citizens. In order to accomplish one of the major and wide-ranging tasks, that's the promotion of the divulgation of the Assembly of the Republic active in Portugal, we support not only the parliamentary press during the plenary sittings, we stay there sitting and we give them all the information they regard as relevant that they need, okay? But we also support the media on their coverage of the Assembly's activities and events, okay? We are always there saying that to them where they must stay and giving them the information they request, okay? And in what concerns welcoming the citizen, we are responsible for the organization of guide tours and cultural events. We organize guided tours. They are booked in advance and they can be scheduled on every working day, okay? In 2016, this year we still don't have the numbers because they are the intent, the Palace of São Bento had around 15,000 visitors in guided tours, okay? We have a lot of guided tours. For instance, we will start receiving the demands on August, after the 15th August, we start receiving the demands of the citizens, of groups of citizens, and in October, we have almost everything full, okay? We have a lot of people searching for our guided tours. And I think that the most interesting part of our guided tours is the main subjects that we cover on those guided tours. We try mostly, as you can see, we have 50% of our guided tours. We explain to the citizens how the Parliament works and the relation with of the Parliament with the other organs. They come, most of the times they don't know the difference between the Parliament and the government and the President of the Republic, and we explain them the differences. They start, when they go out, they understand what the members of the Parliament do. Okay, it's very important for them to understand it. And we also explain, 20% of the Gadatu, we explain the heritage palace, the palace's heritage and architecture, and 30% the history of the Parliament. But our main goal is that they understand what the members of the Parliament do. For instance, most of the times they come here and they say they do nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. And we try to change that opinion because it's not the right opinion, okay? And we also tell them that they, if they go to the website, they can see what they are doing. They don't have only plenary meetings. Plenary meetings are the only part that the citizens see on TV. But they have also committee meetings and other works that they do, and we explain them what they do. And we also explain them the legislative procedure in a very global idea. We don't explain it very profoundly, but we explain the legislative procedure because it's a very hard work of the members of the Parliament, and they don't know that they do this hard work, okay? So mostly the citizens come here with a bad idea of the Parliament, and most of them, when they go after the guided tour, they have a different idea of the Parliament, okay? Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to do the guided tours because they want our political opinion. And I'm talking about it because you asked us about if we have a political color. Of course, that all of us, we have our political color and we agree with a thing and we don't agree with another things, okay? But we never have, even in guided tours, you don't have political power, a political opinion. Here we are here to explain them how the Parliament works, how many members of the Parliament they are, how many political parties they are. We have no political opinion. That's what we always do because we must be independent, always independent. And we also welcome the citizens by the access to the plenary sittings. For instance, this is not my service only. We can't book seats in the plenary sittings because they are public, okay? We only say to the security services that we have some schools that come here. We don't call it book because we can't book it, but we can say to the security services that some schools come here and how many they are. We only can say that we have 300 citizens of groups that come here. The others are free, okay? But even our groups, they don't have the power to come in before the other citizens. They must wait to enter, okay, to attend the plenary meetings. But we have a lot of people interested in coming and see the plenary meetings. For instance, we had about 27,500 citizens in 2016 attending the plenary meetings. So, another kind of activities that we have, we don't have only guided tours in weekdays, we have also guided tours on the last Saturday of each month, and we have another activity that we call the open days. For instance, the last Saturday of each month, we receive individuals. On weekdays, we do guided tours for groups, at least 10 and no more than 50 people per group. But on the last Saturday of each month, we receive individuals. For instance, if we have a family and one person that wants to come and make a guided tour, he can book on that last Saturday of each month, okay? And we also have another kind of activities that is very, in which citizens are very interested. We call it the open days. We celebrate on the 25th April every year. We celebrate our revolution. And in the afternoon, we are opened in this, we have an open day. And in these days, we have several activities in the palace. And we have tours, but not guided tours. People receive papers with the places with numbers, so they have an order to see the palace, and each number is one room of the Parliament and the explanation about that room, okay? And then can enter, sit, and ask for the workers that are there in those places. They can ask their opinion or make questions about that place, okay? We have a lot of people there. Okay. And we have theater pieces, we have activities for children, all kinds of activities that you can imagine. And they can enter and stay here during the period that we are open. And citizens are very happy with this kind of activities because they can see everything. Another curiosity that we have is during the guided tours, citizens can enter in the session hall and sit in the place where the members of the parliament sit. We are a very open parliament, and they are very interested in doing it, okay? So here, I show some pictures of the activities that we have in the open days. We have, as I told you, we have educational, cultural, and recreational activities. For instance, here you have a father that is playing with, I don't know how to say it in English, a parrot that he made with his child, but he doesn't allow the child to play. He's the one who's playing with the parrot, okay? So here you have children making bread, yes. There you have a piece, a theater piece, and here you have a kid that is making paintings, okay? Another task that we have is the organization of cultural events, and such as exhibitions, concerts, and conferences, either internally led or promoted by external social or and cultural institutions. For instance, we have several kinds of cultural activities, cultural events. We have our own cultural events, and we have cultural events promoted by other institutions. We have a regulation which defines how do we give our space, how do we, to which institutions we will approve
you have
a regulation that defines how will it be possible to the institutions, to the other institutions, to use our space. And we give our space so that they can make their activities here also. And we also give... Ai, estava no silêncio. Desculpa lá, apaga. Sorry, I thought it was on silence. Probably I put it in 1 hour on silence, not... Sorry. Cultural events are also a way to open minds about the parliamentary life and activities. And mostly the cultural events are open to the public. They can enter and attend to the cultural events organized by the parliament. They don't have to pay, okay? And they enter and they can see the theater pieces, the concerts, everything that we have here in the parliament, okay? And after, I have also some pictures about the cultural events that we have here, okay? Such as exhibitions, theater plays, film exhibitions, concerts, and musical. So I have to. Desculpa. Sorry. It's my son. Sorry. I forgot to put it on silence. And exhibitions and tasting of regional products. That's some kind of activity, cultural activities that we have here.
Very popular.
Yes. Mostly the tasting of regional products. Okay. And after, I have here the competences of the services. There are several. I'm not going to talk about all of them. Afterwards, we'll have the presentations, and you can see it, okay? I think it's very important to give time for the questions. Now, and you can ask the questions you want to, okay?
Uma questão melhor sobre a recepção da comunicação social.
Como é que a comunicação social entra em contato convosco? Como é que depois procedem? Mais detalhes sobre.
Sobre a comunicação social, queres explicar tudo?
Não, não. Que há acreditados, que há outros.
Pois.
To be in the parliament every time they want, okay? Those are accredited to work in the parliament. And we have another kind of jurists, okay? All jurists that have their card, the jurist card valid, they can enter and work while we have parliamentary works, okay? They only can enter when we have parliamentary works. And they can see everything, take pictures about everything, okay? Yes. No, if they have the card, they can enter, okay? That's the regulation to work here in the parliament. And we have another kind of events. For instance, if you have a reception, if you are going to receive a ranking, for instance, everybody must be, if they have also the cards, they can enter, but they have specific places where to stay, okay? And you always send that information to the press in order that they know how to enter and where to stay in those specific occasions, okay?
Thank you. Okay. How ancient is this building? Very old or not?
Yes. 65.
Okay, thank you.
65.
Okay, thank you.